Welcome to Food Talk on Coast Community Radio. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Teresa. And we're talking with people who are growing, harvesting, and producing food here in our beautiful coastal region.
And also to those who are cooking, serving, and eating the freshest food available in our communities.
Join us in conversation about what's in season right now here on the North Coast.
Today we're talking about Dungeness crab with our guests Patricia and John Edwards of Linda Brand Crab, who sustainably harvest crab out of the Port of Ilwaco.
And Chef Bob Neroni, owner of EVO Cooking School in Cannon Beach. So, John and Patricia, tell us a little bit about Linda Brand Crab. And I have to say, one of my big questions is, who's Linda?
Well, Linda's the name of the boat that we fished for 40 years. And a lot of people think it's my wife's name, but her name's Patricia, but she gets called Linda quite a bit.
And how long have you been fishing?
Since about 72, I started out troll fishing and then I went to crabbing.
And Bob, could you tell us a little bit about EVO Cooking School?
Thank you. Yes, EVO, we actually call it EVOO. It's the acronym for extra virgin olive oil. However, when people just call it EVU, whatever they call it, at least they're talking about us, so we're happy. But we follow a sustainable approach, and Linda Brand Crab's one of my favorite purveyors. But we follow a sustainable approach to our menu planning, recipe development, try to stay within a 100-mile radius. But our focus is on fresh, seasonal, and locally grown products.
That's great. How long have you been there in Cannon Beach?
Well, it's our seventh season, our seventh summer, although we're year-round, and going strong. Very happy to be here.
That's great. And you do cooking classes?
Well, we do cooking classes. We have hands-on classes. We also do a live dinner show, which is really the mainstay. Pretty much five nights a week, we're doing four courses paired with three wines in front of our guests. They see it come together. They get to harass us a little bit, talk about what we're doing. If they don't talk, I get to talk for 3 hours, which is not a hard problem for me.
That's great. Okay.
So one of the great things about this time of year, there's a lot of things that are challenging about this time of year for a lot of people, I think the weather notwithstanding, but it's crab season, and this is pretty exciting for a lot of people. So when does crab season officially start? When can you tell us a little bit about?
The official start is December 1st. We get to dump our pots 64 hours before we get to run them. However, there's a lot of different things that enter into it, such as this year, price is going to be an issue on the opener.
How does that affect the opening?
It affects the opening where the crab fishermen choose not to fish until the price gets higher.
Okay.
And the price out there now is a little bit lower than the fishermen want to go for. So
those of us waiting for fresh crab are just going to have to wait a little bit longer.
We're just going to have to wait.
So it's about patience. And how much crab do you catch in a season?
Well, now that varies too on when you get to start your season. If you start your season late, the crabs are usually done biting, so you don't get a whole lot of crabs later on. If you start on December 1st, you can have a 50 to 100,000 pound month.
Wow.
But it varies per boat, fisherman per fisherman.
And how long does it go for? Is it just for December or is it?
Well, the good fishing is usually the first couple weeks in December, 3 weeks if you're lucky. But the season goes till August 15th in Oregon and September 15th in Washington.
And are you expecting this to be a good season? And what's the word? Do you think there's going to be a lot of crab out there?
I think there'll be some decent landings, but I think it's going to be on a per boat basis. I think it's going to be down a little bit. There's going to be a lot more boats and gear fishing a small area this year compared to the last couple of years.
So where do you, I know that you fish out of the Port of Ilwaco and you sell your crab where? If people want to buy crab from your business, where do they do that? How do they?
We have a retail outlet in Chinook.
Okay, and are there other places that you sell it?
Yes, I'm John's wife, and I started a small business about 14, 15 years ago and started marketing our crab at the farmers markets in the Portland area. And, of course, now we're doing also the market in Cannon Beach, which is why we're here. And we sell with lots of other farmers who market different types of products. We want to sell just sustainable seafoods. By sustainable, it means a lot of things besides scarcity of product. It also means taking your fair share and not any more than you really need. And that's what we focus on.
Are there?
And I'm talking about the fishing industry, the fishermen.
Right. Is there, I mean, when you use the word sustainable when you're describing how you fish, are there different things that you do than what other fishermen do that you, is it just like not about not taking as much, or is it, are there different techniques that you use? I know sometimes in salmon fishing, there's different.
Well, the main sustainability comes from the crab pots themselves. A fisherman's going to catch what he can catch. He's not going to just take so much.
Yeah.
If he's given a decent season, he's going to take that season. But the sustainability comes from the harvesting of the crab. We just harvest a small spectrum of the crab that's available.
Okay.
The males that are, say, from 6 to 8 years old. The smaller crabs, the 5-inch across the back crabs, the ones we can't keep, are actually the best breed stock. So everything goes back overboard unharmed, and we're just taking a small spectrum of the older guys that probably only have a couple more years left anyways.
Okay, and so returning the smaller crabs to the ocean.
Females and male crabs under 6 1/4 inches, and all females go back overboard unharmed.
Yeah.
In our case, also, I want to add that we also hand select the people who we are selling our crab to want those nice, big, full meat crabs. We don't sell crabs that have no meat in them or less meat in them or maybe not hard enough.
Uh-huh.
All those crabs are going back overboard. So that's an important thing, too, I think. We'll catch them another day when they are a hard shell crab.
Okay. And so you just harvest the males? You don't harvest the females? Is that, do they taste different, or is it just a breeding thing?
It's a breeding thing, and they are carrying eggs as well along on their body, on the bottom part of their body.
Okay.
And so that's, you know, if we harvested the females, it would be kind of difficult for them to reproduce in that way. So.
Okay. Wow. So how long does, when you harvest crab, how long does it stay fresh? How quickly do you get it to market?
Many times we are cooking it and it's on its way to Portland in an hour.
Wow.
And we have to, of course, keep the crab a certain period of time
mm-hmm.
so that they begin to slow down and basically go to sleep. We might have a little ice on them to help them go into a sleep or relax and before they can actually even be cooked, because they will actually kick their legs off.
Really?
If they are cooked too soon, yes.
So you sell both live crab and cooked crab, or do you just do cooked crab?
I do sell some live crab, but very, very little, because it's so perishable, and to get it such long distances, you know, it's the crab could be dead. Maybe a lot of those people are wanting live tank, they're wanting crab for live tanks, and so they have to be in really super condition to survive.
Okay,
and you know, Bob, I think, Bob, you buy from Patricia and John?
We do. I've met Patricia before, but I've talked to John on the phone, and it was kind of nice meeting him for the first time and putting a face behind the name. But in the summer, they are really the only ones I buy crab and a lot of my fresh seafood from at the Caddo Beach Farmers Market.
What else do you buy from them?
Well, I've bought shrimp from you. I've bought pink shrimp. I've bought halibut from them. Lots of different salmon.
Lots
of salmon. And as I said, what's nice about what they do is John and I will talk on the Sunday before the Tuesday market. He'll let me know what's being brought in. He'll let me know the condition. And I'm a personal shopper. This is really kind of fun.
This is great.
They walk in head on, and he'll take them down for me if I need to. And, you know, it's nice as a chef, you know, we look for really, there's different monikers of quality. And John's product always hits every one of them. And if I'm in a hurry, he'll break them down the day before for me. And I'm not worried as a chef letting John actually take them off the bone, whereas normally I want to see them on the bone, I want to inspect them. But you know, that's the nice thing about sustainability and the relationship you build with local producers. You can kind of begin to gain a lot of trust to each other, and it's really helpful.
Which is great. So you serve a lot of crab at the cooking school?
We do, but it's meager when I start hearing thousands of pounds of crab, and I'm going through my 6 to 8 pounds a week. You know, we serve 18 to 22 people a night, 5 nights a week, so crab will be one of the courses of many that we're serving. And, you know, Dungeness crab is fantastic because it's so versatile, unlike the blue crab that I'm familiar with. I grew up in the East Coast. I was so happy we moved out here, and my wife, Lenore, introduced me to the Dungeness. Just from a size standpoint, the blue crab is so small. And when she said we sit down and eat one crab for dinner, I really didn't have I couldn't fathom one crab versus the, you know, 2 dozen blue crabs you normally eat. Anyway.
Well, that brings up, you serve people, I know you have customers from all over the world, and I personally absolutely adore Dungeness crab. It's one of my favorite foods. So do people, when they come to the cooking school and they eat it for the first time, do you think that that's really a different taste for them?
I think it is. You know, crab's an interesting creature in many regards, but, you know, for those, most people are familiar with blue crab or stone crab, especially here in North America, but there are different varieties all around the world. But the one thing that they have in common is their sweet nature, the sweet meat of it. And I think what we do, especially with crab cake, and, if I can talk a minute about crab cakes, mm-hmm. because I think everybody has their crab cake recipe. And so what we do is, coming from the East Coast again, I think I would have been run out of town if I'd have used a filler. And so it's all about the crab. And, you know, I may do a little minced green onion and a little fresh aioli, you know, garlic mayonnaise, but I don't use breadcrumbs. It's just about the binder to make the crab stick together. Mm-hmm. Of course, the secret being, make sure you squeeze the crab really well, mm-hmm. get that juice out, save that juice, because there's always a secondary purpose for that, like a soup. But then it's dry enough to receive the mayonnaise or the aioli, and that crab cake takes together. And people who've never had Dungeness crab, they fall in love with it because the crab is the superstar no matter what you pair with it.
Oh, it is wonderful. You had mentioned that you had gone out recreational crabbing, I guess you would call it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so how was that and what did you do?
Well, you know, as a chef, I always brag about, oh, yeah, we've gone, we've met the farm, we've done this, we've done that. But I went crabbing for the first time last year, and, it's a crime having been here for so long. Took my sister, who's from Cleveland, Ohio, and living in Arizona, and my wife and I, and we all went. And, we're on this little skiff, and we're out there and having a great time. But it is a lot of work. I don't think I could be doing the 1,000-pound harvesting. We got soaking wet. I didn't have any of the right gear. I spent half the time trying not to get pinched by the crab and making sure it was the right size. And, throw it back. And, we're taking the picture moment with our little phones, trying to make sure, they show the crab next to our face, trying not to get pinched. It was a lot of fun. And I think in 4 or 5 hours, we got 4 or 5 crabs.
Oh, my gosh.
So I have so much respect for these guys sitting next to me.
Now, but, can you tell the difference between a boy and a girl crab?
I can now, yes.
Okay, good for you.
And, we're trained in that, and it's really easy to tell the difference. But I think more importantly, it's once you get them, you got to do something good with them. And that's what's also key.
Right. Okay.
So, I know that a lot of people around here like to harvest crab themselves, and you see a lot of people out in the estuaries and looking for crab. And how did you do that? How do you go about doing it? If I wanted to go out crabbing, what do I do? I mean, I'm assuming that you, John and Linda, you don't take people out crabbing. You're a commercial enterprise. But are there ways people to go out and experience crabbing for themselves firsthand?
Sure, there is. You know, I mean, a lot of people make their own smaller crab pots. There are some local people who make them, and I've known tons of people who tell me when our crab season is closed, they'll be here crabbing. Mm-hmm. They'll say, "Oh wow, I caught all these crab," and they'll be so, happy about it, and they have a good time. It's a great thing for kids. A lot of people do it. You can buy the supplies, I'm sure, at England Marine for any type of little crabbing project you'd like to go try out.
And you don't need a boat. You can throw them over a pier, side of a bridge. The ones we used was, the flat ones. They go flat, and you have some kind of bait inside. And as you pick them up, you got to go quick to get them all off. But it's a lot of fun.
I'd just like to remind everyone that we're listening to Food Talk on Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9, and KTCB Tillamook 89.5. So one of the questions that I have about that is, are private people limited by the same season as commercial fishermen, or is the private, if I just want to go out and go to England Marine and get my crab kit and go out and harvest crabs, can I be doing that right now, or do I have to wait for December 1st as well?
No, I believe that sports season is year-round, it seems like. They fish they're fishing right now. They fish right through October and November, our closed months. Of course, the weather's a lot worse, so they don't get out as often.
So it's really just for commercial fishermen that there's a restriction on when you can be doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
But the quality, too, not to interrupt, the quality, too, is different year-round.
Right.
The crabs go through their molting season. And
yes, and then they'll have very little meat on the inside of the shell, and they're not a good harvestable product anyway. Okay. Or the meat may be a little stringy, mm-hmm. so to speak.
So is the best crab harvested right now, early on in the season, or...? Best tasting, I should say.
I think the best tasting crab of the year has got to be in December. They're at their peak, mm-hmm. No one's been fishing them for a longer period of time, and they're in abundance, and they're hungry. And so, that's the best time that they're going to be really great and full of meat. Sometimes at the early beginning of the season, they may have a late starting. But at that peak time when they are full of meat,
They're
the tastiest, I believe.
What do you use for bait? I just have to ask. I'm sure people out there are wondering.
Well, we use an assortment of baits. We use squid and clam. Sardines has been one we've used here this last decade. There's been quite a bit of sardines around. And then we'll use hanging bait, which would be carcasses of rockfish, salmon heads, tuna.
So they're hungry all the time for things to eat. Well, speaking of hungry, Bob, I'd really love to hear what some of the dishes are that you fix at EVO Cooking School.
Well, this actually coming up this next week, we're starting our first course crab appetizer, or crab course. We do more three entrees and dessert rather than courses. The first course is going to be I call it a terrine, but it's more of a crab salad, a combination of cucumber, mango, avocado, all layered with mustard microgreens. And then we're going to be doing two crab cakes with a house-made Old Bay seasoning, kind of reminiscent of what we did in the East Coast. With, again, just a touch of garlic aioli, a little minced green onion, letting the crab itself be the superstar. So we'll have the juxtaposition of a hot crab with a cold salad,
which
I think really kind of brings it all home for us.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
You know, Bob, we haven't had dinner yet.
If there was a stove in here, we'd just kick it up, bring in the crab.
Well, what John and Linda, John and Patricia, I'm so sorry. See, I'm doing it
it's
too.
It's okay. I answer to Linda also.
So we hear a little bit about how Bob likes to cook crab, but you must like to cook and eat it as well, or do you just get so sick of it harvesting it that you don't like to eat it, or are there ways that you like to prepare it yourself?
I never get sick of crab.
You know, that's a kind of a strange thing because, I mean, you can get sick of a lot of things, having them around you all the time or working in them, but really a lot of people ask me that, and I enjoy Dungeness crab a whole lot. There are great ways to prepare it, really, but you really simply cannot beat just taking it out. My husband takes it out of the shell for me. We have our own cocktail sauce, and when we had the kids at home, we would roll out the newspapers, and everybody gets their own crab, and off we would go. That's our favorite way to do it. But we like crab done a lot of different ways. My husband's favorite is a crab omelet.
Oh, yum. Ooh.
And that's
that
really
great.
Lovely, and you can add a lot of really great things to that. Different kinds of cheese, different veggies. Make it to what you like, herbs.
And
it's great.
Doesn't Linda Brand sell a crab dip, as
we
I recall?
We have a crab dip.
Yeah.
We make it up until the time that we stop the farmers markets, and really we've currently even been at the markets. We did a couple markets in November when it was kind of cold and rainy, but we were there. And
And can people go over to Chinook and are you still open
Year? Well, we will be opening our retail site December 1st. We have a lack of products because we focus only on fresh product. We don't like to sell frozen.
Sure.
We do maybe for a halibut or a particular type of fish that is hard to get a hold of or to store for a period of time, and that will be whole fish. But normally, we get everything fresh off the boats, and so the weather doesn't allow for them to go fishing a lot of this time of year. So we close for a little while, take a break. It's a lot of work doing all the markets for the summer. I've been doing them for 15 years.
And how many markets are you doing?
We do 4 on Saturday and 3 on Sunday and Cannon Beach on Tuesday.
Yay, Cannon Beach. And Bob, I know you have some recipes that you could actually walk us through.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, the one that I brought in from the East Coast was called my garlic crab and mushroom soup. And the idea was kind of a takeoff of a hot and sour soup. So what we do basically is we start, I'm going to just walk you through the recipe itself.
Okay, that would be great.
Sure. So those that are listening at home, make sure you get a pen and pencil out. And you can also go to our website at www.evoo.biz. But basically what we do is we start off with a little bit of a neutral oil, like a grapeseed oil. Saute some ginger and some garlic. Add some corn if it's in season, fresh corn. But if you don't have fresh corn, frozen corn works really well for this. I like to add some grilled chicken, and this becomes more my clean out the refrigerator recipe, and then it kind of goes from there. So corn and crab over top that, and of course the chicken, over top the ginger and the garlic. A little bit of chicken stock, or we talked about squeezing out the crab for that juice. That crab water goes right back in to fortify the soup, making it a little bit stronger. Some sesame oil, some cilantro and green onion, and it's more of a hearty soup than I would call it a very liquidy soup.
More like a stew almost?
Well, when I think of stew, I think of all types of root vegetables. Maybe it's that my Jewish-Italian background, but, you know, it's definitely hearty. We'll call it hearty. And that with a loaf of bread. Did I say a loaf of bread? Yeah, loaf of bread with more garlic and a good bottle of wine, and that's one of my favorite recipes for sure.
And what kind of wine would you serve with that?
Oh, wow. you know, I can go white or red. If I was going white, I might think of a Gewurztraminer or a Pinot Gris. Going red, probably a Syrah or a Merlot. And that's the other thing. People, you know, don't think of red wine with crab, but, you know, depending on what you're doing with it, it's all about the flavor in the bottle with the flavor on the plate, so it works well.
Yum. That just sounds wonderful.
Thank you.
So the cocktail sauce is a interesting thing for me. I'm kind of developing a taste for it, and mm-hmm. I'm wondering what's in it. I mean, I know it's probably a secret and proprietary recipe, but, you know, I'm coming to really appreciate that there's a lot of difference between cocktail sauces, what you buy at the supermarket versus what you can buy that's made locally. And it seems like different stores have different their own type of cocktail sauce. Sometimes different restaurants will have their own. And they can really vary. And I love them, some of them, and I really don't like some of them. And what do you like about yours?
Well, what I like about mine and why I use it is the same recipe that I used when I had a restaurant near Galveston, mm-hmm. and so it's a recipe that I've used for a long time. We've been making the cocktail sauce and selling it at the market since we started. Mm-hmm. It's just a real basic, all-around, everyone-would-like cocktail sauce. It does have a little zip to it. We have the horseradish added into it, but mm-hmm. I think that even if it's not overdone, it really accentuates the flavor of the crab for people who like that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm not against garlic butter either.
Yeah, it's hard to go wrong with garlic butter. Bob, are there other things that if people are having it fresh and they decide they want to have a dipping sauce that isn't the standard red sauce or garlic butter, what else would you suggest?
Well, you know, when I met Lenore, the first thing she introduced me to was the idea of the, I think she called it the cracked crab dinner, and it was consisted of cold whole Dungeness with Russian dressing.
Oh, my
and,
gosh.
You know, I hadn't seen Russian dressing forever, but, you know, once you try that combination, I think you're hooked for life. But there's also aioli, which is the garlic mayonnaise. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the big rule of thumb, you know, listening to Patricia talk about sauce, is just to make sure you don't overwhelm the crab. Crab is just so, you know, it's delicate. It's a big player on the plate, but you don't want to overwhelm it because you want to really taste that incredible nuance, the flavor that it brings.
I know I've exactly. spent some time in Asia, and sake, especially in Japan, is a lovely dipping sauce. Curiously, I mean, it's just got a little sweetness, and you still get to really taste the flavor of the meat. Oh, it's interesting.
So you dip it in the sake?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Wow.
Just straight sake?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you get to drink it too at the same time?
Well, let's see.
We hope so.
I
mean, you know.
Seems like it would probably still taste
good. Crab-flavored sake. I think I've seen salmon-flavored vodka. Seen that?
It's an interesting concept.
Sounds good, actually. Yeah.
One thing I think about, you know, about people going out fishing this time of year, and I think about the weather, and it's cold, and it's wet, and just, I mean, year-round, commercial fishing is hard. It's like any small business, and, you know, any kind of small agricultural business like that, where you're, you know, out producing food, you have long hours. It's a lot of work going to all those markets, fishing. It's easy to think about the challenges of it. It's easy to think about what's hard about it. And what I'm curious about is, why do you do it? What do you love about the work you do?
Well, I like about what I do is I like the look on that person's face when I hand them that great big huge Dungeness crab, and when they come back next week and they say, that was the best Dungeness crab I ever had.
Sean, what about you?
Well, I just love to fish, and that's all I've known. So for me, it's second nature. In fact, 2 years before I got out of high school, I started troll fishing, and then went crabbing, and it just has it's been every year for me. So I don't even feel like I've aged with it. It just seems like second nature to me. I do it all the time. If there's an obstacle, we get over it, get through it.
So how big is your boat?
The boat I'm fishing now is the Big Dipper, and it's 52 foot.
And how many crew do you have on it?
Myself and two deckhands.
Okay. So, and when you go out in all sorts of weather, today is quite stormy, but how do you decide when you're going to go out?
Well, we look at the tides, we look at the weather, the forecast. If it's coming down and it's a little rough, we'll maybe go at high water. But we're careful. I mean, I've been doing it for 40 years, and I'm still here, so I must not be too aggressive.
And how far offshore do you go?
Probably 5 to 10 miles in the wintertime. We spend more time there because of the bad weather. When it comes up, it plays havoc on the gear that's shallow, even though we do try and fish the shallow as much as we can. We stay offshore for the first couple months.
Wow.
Bob, I'm curious too about your cooking school. You've been here for 7 years now, you said, and what are you enjoying about being here on the North Coast? And this is a kind of a specific region for food, and there's challenges, sometimes lack of availability, sometimes abundance. What do you love about cooking from the North Coast?
Well, the abundance of ingredients, the diverse ingredients, it's just, that's such a great question, easy question and hard at the same time. Have we gone to the gambit there? When you make relationships with the artists and producers, they're relationships for life. You know, mm-hmm. they get to know your ebb and flow of business. You get to know the seasonality. And, you know, there seems to be micro seasons within the seasons. And sometimes, even though you're in a season of something, it doesn't mean it's going to be the best quality. You might want to wait a week. And so that communication and relationship really has, I think, helped to make us successful, my wife and I. But the one thing that I'm just continually amazed about, just at Oregon in general, is that you don't go for wanting anything. With the occasional avocado or citrus, get that in once in a while from California, sneak back over. You can pretty much create menus that are completely Oregon-based. And, Dungeness crab is a great example of what something can you do year-round for the most part. But you're not limited with the other ingredients. And, as a chef, the mantra is if it grows together, it goes together. So it allows you for some really great menus. And I love it here.
I have learned so much about crab today. I love crab. I've never actually cooked one before. This has been fascinating and really enjoyable, and I'm very inspired to go out and eat a lot more crab this season. John and Patricia, tell us a little bit about how people can find you after this. If they want to buy some fresh crab from you, if they want to know more about your business, do you have a website? Is there a way for people to contact you?
Yes, we do. Right now, anybody going through Chinook, I sure have seen our sign before. We have an A-frame sign out on the road. We live on Cherry Street in Chinook. We have our store right there. We're also going to be doing some marketing in Portland. It's at the Portland Farmers Market. They're still going through December, so we'll be there selling a few whole crab. Mm-hmm. And again, as we do every year, we'll be selling whole crab to all of the new season stores in the Portland area.
And then, of course, you can probably eat crab at
EVOO. You can find us on the web at www.evoo.biz. We've got a free online cookbook with all the recipes we talked about today and many, many more. A great search engine, so you can find any recipe you're looking for. A shameless plug real quick. The whole month of December, we'll be featuring crab as a starter course. I'm very excited about that. And toll-free, 877-436-EVOO.
Thank you for joining us for today's Food Talk on Coast Community Radio. This show will be available as a podcast at coastradio.org and can also be heard this evening at 8:30 on KCBB 90.9 FM.
I'd like to thank our show's engineer, Mark Albrecht, and thanks to Luke and Katie for our theme song. If you want to find out more about local food here on the North Coast, you can go to the North Coast Food Web website at www.northcoastfoodweb.org, where we'll have links to both of these businesses and recipes.
Please join us on Monday, January 3rd from 9:30 to 10 o'clock a.m. to talk about a new crop that could change the economy of the North Coast.
With guests Marty Stites of Oregon Diamond Wild Rice and Astoria Councilman and restaurateur Peter Roscoe.
Food Talk. Fresh conversation about local food on the North Coast.